hits for Gila County. Gila 101.9.
Al is coming in to open the City of Globe meeting. Find out what's going on with that. I knew that Tim's election was contested. I don't think Al's was. I think Al was a shoo-in either way. So mayor of Globe for the next 4 years.
You bet. And before I get started on my monthly report, I just want to make a few comments on an individual that our community lost this past week. He was an icon. You know, it was an unexpected passing of Kenny Vargas. You know, it was in a shock to really the whole Globe Miami community. Knowing Kenny, he was an amazing individual. Man, he had a huge heart, always giving, a huge personality, a teacher, a coach, a friend. I mean, you name it, he was that. You know, a tremendous loss to the Vargas family and a tremendous loss to our Globe Miami community and the school system, Miami High School. He is irreplaceable, and he will be missed in our community.
Absolutely, and he was a young man, too.
He sure was.
It wasn't something that was expected.
No, it wasn't, and yeah, it is a shame. But we pray for his family. And the community that we all heal.
You betcha. Rest in peace, Ken.
You bet. Okay, on my monthly report, I'm going to talk a little bit about the election results.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone who voted for me in the primary. Although I was unopposed, I truly appreciate the continued support that has been shown to me in my first 8 years serving as mayor. My intention was to serve only for 2 terms. And then retiring, thinking that a lot could be accomplished in that time frame. I found out immediately that ideas and plans and projects really don't happen right away, happen overnight. And although there have already been a lot of projects that have been completed, there are many more pending in the next couple of years that I wanted to be part of and continue to move the city forward.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot more coming, and I just wanted to be part of it, you know. It takes all of us to do it. There is someone I do want to mention that was key and or has always been key in my decision to run a third term, and that is my wife. She has always supported every decision I have made. I've gone into a lot of ventures, and she's always been there to support me. You know, I couldn't be doing things, and it all starts at home and what kind of support you have in your system at home. And that's really big and helped me in my decision. I also want to congratulate my 2 council members, Freddie Rios and Mike Pastor, for also being reelected to their council position for the next 4 years. They were also unopposed, so they were also put in the primary. You know, our full council have a unified vision and are committed to continue to work hard to elevate our city to the next level. And I want to make it clear that it takes an army to make things happen, so nothing could be possible again, and I always say that, without the continued dedicated hard work commitment of our city staff. They're the ones that make it happen. You know, we have the ideas, we have the vision, but they make it happen.
Right.
And talk a little bit about home rule and Proposition 412. And alternative spending, you know, I'm glad it was passed and allows us to set our budget for the next 4 years.
What was the percentage of people who would have voted against that?
Exactly, and that's what concerns me, and I think we need to do a better job of really educating. I think it was 63% for it and about 36. We still got 36% against it.
It's crazy time.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, throughout the state, did home rule actually lose somewhere? And I'm unaware of it.
The only time that I have known it's lost, and that was 8 years ago,
Florence.
And that was in Florence.
Yeah.
And it was devastating.
And that was a grudge vote. You know,
yeah,
and
it was.
Absolutely. But again, people didn't realize what it meant.
You bet.
It wasn't effective for what they wanted, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I understand being, you know, PO'd about something, but this home rule is so antiquated, and you keep hoping that the state will revise this. And again, in a sentence, for people who are unaware somehow, if this this doesn't pass, no matter how much money a city has in its coffers, doesn't matter what it is, they can only spend what they spent in 1979. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you spent in 1979 for anything? Not a lot, which means most of the money a municipality collects just goes feral. It just stays there.
Yeah, till the next 4 years.
It's insanity.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we expect our operating budget this year is around $19 million. And if we were, if home rule not to pass, I think we would only been able to spend around $8 to $9 million,
right,
which we'd have to lay off people. We couldn't provide the services we do now.
Right.
So it is, and it is, people need to educate themselves. I was even getting calls at, you know, all the time here close to the, when they were doing the primary, and I was telling them, because they were asking, because it is confusing. It is. And I think a little more education needs to be in process prior to that time frame. I really hope that in the next 4 years we can pass something to legislation to get rid of home rule.
Oh, so do I. And you're right about education. The problem is that most people will think, well, it's got to be more than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason that it's on the ballot. It can't be that simple.
Yep.
Well, unfortunately, it's that simple, and it's just a trap. And there's a lot of reasons state politicians don't like to pick up things or whatever, but I don't understand what the unpopularity would be of getting rid of this.
Exactly, yeah. And you know, and people need to understand, if you don't really like the way things are going through city government or with decisions that are being made, run for office. Don't take it out on home rule and limiting your ability to spend the money you get. Go for office and you know, be able to make the decision, be part of the decisions, or be involved with meetings and come and voice your opinion as to what's going on.
Speaking of that, 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE. Mayor Gomeros is here, and he will take your calls, and if it's on your mind, it will be on the radio, so call us.
You bet. So I'll move on to the next topic. It's about building and fire code. A public meeting has been scheduled for August 14th. This is going to be at 2 p.m., and it'll be in the city council chambers. And what it is to begin the initial discussion and the process to update our 20-plus-year-old fire and building codes.
Good.
This meeting is open to all stakeholders and includes licensed contractors, business owners, realtors, and the general public. Everybody's invited. We are currently operating off the 2003 building code and the 2003 fire code.
So this is Wednesday at 2 p.m., and where will it be held?
At the council chambers.
Okay.
And I would imagine if it's going to be held in there, it's also going to be live streamed. This is an opportunity for the individuals to learn more and be able to understand what really the code is. You know, adopting the most current codes and standards, the most efficient and effective method creating safe environments, and that protects and improves public health, safety, and the welfare of the economic interest of our community. And updated fire codes also help to develop a better ISO rating, insurance rating, that affects insurance rates in both residential and commercial. So that's important also.
Absolutely. And of course, you have extensive experience in this arena. If you, and you're very well acquainted with it, old code. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, is there anything in it where you're saying this needs to be addressed right now?
You know, I think it's going to be an improvement to, you know, they're developed by studies, and the code is updated every 3 years. As far as the fire code, even though we're operating under the 2003 fire code, we have to go with what the state fire marshal has adopted, and they're operating the 2018. So when we go into look at the plans or fire code for a new business, or you know, when we're looking at them, then we have to use the 2018 code, even though we only have the three.
So then part of this is housekeeping in terms of cleaning it up and making it conform and all that. But even so, 2 p.m. on Wednesday at Council Chambers.
You bet. And I think the new code is going to have more, we're seeing more, electric vehicles, we're seeing more solar panels. So I think this code also is going to include more teeth into how we address these types of situations, make sure that we're doing the right thing and making it safe for these upgrades in different buildings.
That's a real good point. I never really thought about that with electric vehicles, who, of course, people want to charge at home.
Mm-hmm.
And depending upon what their home power situation is, it might not be as easy as you think.
You bet.
So at this point in time, are we creating hazards?
No, I don't think so. I hope that the people that are actually putting these, because I know certain individuals that have upgraded in their home, that they're running the right size wire, the right size amperage. They're putting it on a separate breaker. You know, these are the things you don't want to. You want to put something less that's going to create a hazard.
Yeah.
So there is a minimum standard that they recommend when they're putting these vehicles, charging them at their home. You know, some people had the old like the dryer, 240 volt. Uh-huh. Yeah, so something like that. That's an upgrade. It has to be on a separate breaker system.
Right.
So you know, having worked in the fire service for 30 years in Globe, I know the challenges and the dangers of our 100-year-old plus city.
Oh, you've seen it all.
Exactly.
And the scariest word to me is adapter. Yeah. We'll just put an adapter on it. Yeah. Oh my God.
Or extension cords.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah, you know, it's important to understand that when doing modification in any commercial building where the public has access, that both the building and the fire code are met. You know, about 80% of our downtown buildings have basements and are built right next to each other. Look at the 2000 fire, the Pioneer Motel, a four-story building, but next to our theater, which was a one-story, really difficult to even be able to save that building in the process.
Or that fire that was under the barber shop with the toxic chemicals.
Yep.
So yeah, that stuff does occur, but that's, I never really thought about it with electric cars and things like that, but you'd hope that people are buying electric cars
more and more.
Yeah, but so, they'd at least be schooled in what they need to do.
And this will help because it'll be in these updates. I think those are the things we're going to see.
Good.
And I think some things will even make it easier, you know. Doing modification in any commercial building without the building and fire codes could create a dangerous environment, not only for the public, but also, I'll say it, for our firefighters. If they go into these buildings and there are some unexpected changes, you know, people need to realize about extension cords. They need to realize about ceiling, having open ceilings in certain areas. Fire travels in the path of least resistance. It's going to go vertical first, and if you have an open ceiling, it's going to go vertical right into your attic or into your basement, that's in between the two floors. So it's interesting to understand how fire behaves, how it travels, and the hazards that you have. You know, the biggest one, extension cords, where people overload them.
Well, right. That and the reason I mentioned adapters is I see this so often where somebody will get a new appliance and the plug's different. So they say, oh, well, I just need to get another adapter for this. But the reality, it might have been rated for 20 amp before. Now it's 30 amp and you're looking at wiring that only takes 20 amp. And you don't have to worry about how the fire is going to spread. Now we're talking about how it's going to start.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, you bet. And we see sometimes, you know, what's the first thing that people do, which they're not supposed to? They put refrigerators in their carports or in their...
Oh, and turn them on?
And then they run extension cords.
No.
Yeah, so that aren't rated for the amperage and create heat. You got to be directly plugged into an outlet. You got to be... It should be on a separate breaker from all the other stuff within that room. So there's a lot to know. So really, I want to encourage everyone to attend this initial meeting. Ask questions, get a better understanding of the importance of the codes. You know, codes are developed for the protection and the safety of the public and also for the investment of the business owners. Because you may have one business owner that spends a tremendous amount of money to upgrade his building, and the next one to you doesn't do anything and creates a hazard and could create some danger or risk to their building too.
You know, it's so sad because, unfortunately, the nature of code departments in general is there's a lot of bureaucratic nonsense, period. Yeah. And so a lot of people think, well, I don't need to worry about this, but there are other things that are key. And anytime you're talking about electricity, you better know what you're doing.
Yep, you bet. Yeah, and it's always smart to get a permit. You know, if you're doing electrical work, it should be inspected. You know, you want to make sure that somebody's doing the right, didn't leave a loose connection. You want to make sure that you're putting up the right sheetrock if you're in a certain part of the building or it needs to be fire rated. You know, when you have buildings that are built next to each other, it's vital that we maintain the two-hour fire rating. And that may take, a type of sheetrock, thicker sheetrock, 5/8 sheetrock compared to 1/2 inch, the same with the ceiling, stuff like that. These are things that we need to understand in commercial buildings, especially in our downtown that is so old. The plumbing is old, the electrical is old, everything, you know. And so when you go in there, you want to protect your investment. Absolutely.
And it's liability too.
You bet.
Because if you don't and you inadvertently screw up somebody else's property, you're going to be doing the repairing.
Yep. Yep. We've seen where you have two buildings together and then without getting a permit, these two, they own both buildings and they put an entrance into one building to the other. Mm-hmm. You've just defeated the two-hour rating mm-hmm. by opening up that one building into the next one. So there's code that you need to follow to make sure that we maintain that break point. So
yeah.
So I encourage everybody, go to it. This is only the beginning. It's like a town hall, and we're gonna have it at our meeting tomorrow just to discuss the process. But we hope to adopt it probably January 2025 when we finally Good. Get through the process and get that done.
Good.
Talk a little bit about the end of year bash and the new pool schedule. You know, we had an end of the year pool party that was held at the Globe Community Center on July 26th, and it was to celebrate the beginning of the school year. And there were approximately about 300 attendees that attended the event until we had to shut it down around 4:30 when the rain came in and the lightning.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to end it early. It was supposed to go on until 7, but
right.
we couldn't control that.
No.
And I do want to recognize the sponsors that put on this event that day, and that was Arizona Complete Health, Freeport MacMoran, and the City of Globe. We had giveaways. There was food. There was a DJ there. You know, so there was a lot of things going on. I wish it would have lasted till 7, but unfortunately, we had to shut it down.
Yeah.
And it's still open. During the peak hours before this, we were getting anywhere from 100 to 200 attendees daily.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it is. So we're still, the community pool is open. People were saying, well, now you're closing. It's heated. No, it's still open. So the hours are modified Monday through Saturday. There's lap swimming from 8 to 10:30. Monday through Wednesday is open swim from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. because they're having water aerobics from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
And then Thursday is open swim from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Fridays and Saturday is open swim 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Sundays is 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Good.
And they can always contact Lisa Fletcher, who's the pool manager. And she's done an amazing job. I got to compliment her on it's run a lot smoother this year. And her number is 628-940-9207. And not only for the pool, but, you know, you can rent it for private parties and everything. So she's the one that will coordinate all that for you.
Good. And so when will the season end?
I'm not sure because I know Globe High School has their swim team. That'll be their season starts, I think, September, October.
Okay.
And maybe into November. So maybe closer to October, November.
Good.
Will be the end of the season.
Good.
You know, it's still warm.
Absolutely.
But we also have the option of heating the pool, too.
Good.
To go longer.
All right.
I want to announce also that we're going to do our next Citizens Academy. And this is scheduled to start September 4th and end on October 22nd. And again, this is held every Wednesday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And this is a truly amazing way to find out the operations, know more about every department. You're able to go to every department and you're explained what goes on. And you're fed every time too. Also, there's like a competition as to who provides the best meal at the end of the class. So it's kind of like a competition for each department.
Good.
But if anybody's interested in learning more about their City of Globe, sign up for the Citizens Academy. It's a free course. And you can contact, again, this is Lita Fletcher, is the one in charge of it. And it's 628-940-928. Yeah, it's a 628 number, kind of a weird number.
That's the area code?
Yeah.
Okay.
And 940 and 9207. I hope I got that right. I saw it on my phone, and I want to make sure that I have it right.
I
am wrong.
It is
928.
Yeah, because I was saying, you know.
It's 928. I don't know.
628 is normally San Francisco.
Yeah. I wrote it upside down.
Okay. All right. Well, good. I'm glad that we checked that then. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked me. I was looking at this in my report, and I go, oh, I put 6, and that came out in the paper like that.
Oh, no. So it's 928-940-9207.
Yes.
Okay.
Connie's Bridge. A lot of people asking questions. So on the 23rd, We heard an updated report from Meridian Engineering Company on the status and the time frame of Connie's Bridge. You know, they explained there was various delays that have occurred, mainly due to remediation work, and this has been required by our city.
Right.
And I want to thank our city engineer, Luis Chavez, who has been persistent to assure that the highest standard of quality of work is met. He has been on spot there. Meridian came highly recommended for the project, but in the process have had issues with the subcontractors that they have hired.
Mm-hmm.
They have been very cooperative with our city staff to satisfy all the requests of remediation at their cost, not the city's cost.
Yeah.
They're losing the money on it. I mean, it's their, you know, it's their project. That's right. And they need to make sure that they follow through with what they were hired for.
So new estimated opening date?
No, not yet, because we still have, and we're going to have another update, I think, in 2 weeks.
Okay.
But because we still got the railroad company to come in, they got to put the arms in that area, so I don't know how long that's going to take.
Okay.
And I, you know, at the end of the day, it's not about the deadline date again, but about the end project. And we have an obligation and commitment to quality assurance and to make sure that once this bridge is completed, that it will meet all the standards, requirements, and design of a contract that they were paid for.
Yeah, and that it'll last about 50 years, so we don't look at this again,
exactly.
You know, next week or whatever.
Yeah, you know, that's about a $4.8 million project, you know.
Does it have a real name, by the way, other than Connie's Bridge?
No, it's Pinal Creek. It's Pinal Creek Bridge. That's a true name, but everybody calls it Connie's Bridge.
I like Pinal Creek Bridge.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right.
And the old Connie's Bridge, Pinal Creek Bridge, will be torn down as soon as this one is opened up.
Okay.
So, because you don't want to void there anyway. But, you know, there's the way it was built, it is... there's more going to be more water flow underneath the bridge than the other one allowed.
Okay.
So, and then on want to mark, if you can mark your calendars, I'm going to do my next State of the City address, and that'll be September 26th, starting at 5:30 p.m. And that'll be my fourth annual State of the City address, and I'll give you an update on the past year's activities and what lies ahead for our
city.
Will
that be council chambers as well?
It'll be out in the park, out in the front. Yep.
Okay.
Weather.
Dependent, of course.
Yeah. But we'll have it out there because we'll have food trucks, we'll have music,
yeah.
And you'll have an opportunity to talk to council members. I want to see where hopefully we can have people there from Gorman Project, people there from Meridian and Connie's Project, the Marigold Project that we're still working on, hopefully for the drive-in area. And people can ask questions and look at renderings and design that will, you know, hopefully take place in the next year. You know, design of our new fire station. We're still working on that $13 million project, you know. We need to make sure that we get that through funding through SDA.
So speaking of Gorman, anything new on that project?
No, they said October, and I haven't talked to them here lately. I see they're moving through. They did put some blacktop where all the parking spots are going to be. They put the new sidewalk in. They're working on a new area in front right there that's going to have, I guess, grills, and it'll have grass and tables or picnic stuff to sit on. So they're getting ready.
Did you find out, we talked about this last time, what the upper income limit is?
You know, I did not, and I that was my fault. I did not.
Because I know many people are interested in that.
Yeah, and I think there may be, you know, and I don't know if that's the same case. You know, when we talked about the 504 project, the funding that USDA was giving money for, you remember we talked about that?
Mm-hmm.
They came to, you can apply for up to $10,000 in grant money, $40,000 in loan, 1%, but the limit is $35,000. You can't make above $35,000 in order to qualify for the 504 plan. That's through USDA.
Okay.
And that's still ongoing. Just because they came for one day doesn't mean it's over. There is still a process where you can contact USDA if you're interested in that grant or that loan. You just need to call them.
Okay.
And be able to start the process.
Well, it'll be good to know about the senior housing, because that's $35,000. That lets out a lot of people who are looking now,
yeah,
saying they're interested.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's it.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it is,
right.
But that's a good question. I will call tomorrow.
Okay.
And try and find out what's the upper limit.
And we will be back with you on the 9th of September before your address, actually.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really all I had on my report for the month. I'm open to any questions. Anybody wants to ask questions of anything, if you have any questions.
If you're breathing, that would be 888-876-5593. This is your last moment for Fame and Glory, at least, to ask Al anything on the air right now. Of course, you can contact him off the air in his office as well. And KQSS.net has a page just for Al, and there's a link right on the homepage.
Yeah. And they can call me on my cell phone anytime, and I just said 928-200-2626.
Okay.
And if you have, you want information like on the Gorman project, there's a number to call, and I don't have that, but they can call me and I'll give it to them. Any information that they want, I'm open, and that's 7 days a week. It's not just Monday through Friday.
Right, so there's absolutely no excuse. All right, and so as I say, this will replay Sunday morning at 8:30 on KJAA, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM, and it will be on KQSS.net before that, and will remain there in perpetuity. So on that note, we will thank Al for being here this this month, and we will return you to regular programming, or whatever it is that passes for that.
KQSS Miami.
It's country and more.